Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. One of the principles of the U.S. justice system that is considered almost sacred is the idea that we are innocent until proven guilty. Tell that to Russ Caswell, who's fighting to prevent the U.S. government from seizing his family-owned motel in Tewksbury. His crime? Nothing.
But the government says over the years, drug dealers have used his motel to commit crimes. So the office of U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz is trying to confiscate the property and sell it off. WBUR senior reporter David Boeri has been following the story, and he joins us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Anthony.
So let's start with a bit of a description of the Caswell Motel in Tewksbury. I gather the Ritz, it is not.
No, $57 a night. It's the cheapest place in town, and it's clearly seen better days. It's used by poor people, working people, people down and out, people with troubles and people in trouble, I guess you could say. But it also represents the livelihood and the retirement of Russ Caswell and his wife.
Mm. And I gather that over the years, certain drug-related crimes have been committed in this motel, right? That there's no disputing that.
No, and he doesn't dispute it, although he says he never knew that they took place. A number of crimes, heroin in one room, meth lab in another, and so on, crack in this room. You know, it's important to note 15 crimes in about 15 years. He's rented out 14,000 rooms a year. So you do the math. It's pretty low crime rate, he would say. But it's important to point out that this area around Route 495 and 38, it's no secret. You know, when you're talking about drug sales, people use the highways. They use parking lots of the big box stores, Home Depot and Walmart next door. They use the Motel 6 as well. And yes, they do use the Motel Caswell.
Right. And so under civil forfeiture laws, Attorney General Ortiz wants to confiscate this motel and sell it off. And this gets the troubling part of the story because this is a family-owned business. And Russ Caswell, he's never been charged, accused, or questioned in any crime. And yet the government wants to take his hotel.
Let's
listen to what he told you.
I'm responsible for the action of people that I don't even know, I've never even met, and for the most part have no control over them, and yet I have to rent them a room unless I have a real good reason not to, or I get accused of discrimination and all that kind of thing. And when they do something wrong, the government wants to steal my property for the actions of those people, which to me makes absolutely no sense. It's more like we're in Russia or Venezuela or something.
So David, this does seem difficult to understand. How does the government explain its action and how does it justify it?
Well, we're moving from criminal law here to civil law. Mm-hmm. And in criminal law, if they convict you of drug crimes, they'll take the house, they'll take the car. If you made a phone call in the car, they'll take that. They can take your property. But here we're into this matter of civil law. And so the government is saying that the facilitator here are the rooms themselves, that the rooms, the motel is the wrongdoer, so to speak. And they are saying he was either willfully blind, Caswell was, or he didn't take any kind of reasonable steps to stop the crime. He has to prove, the burden is on him, to prove that he is an innocent owner here. And he says you can't see through the walls.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we started this segment talking about the principle of innocent until proven guilty. As we mentioned, Russ Caswell does not stand accused of anything. So what kind of protections does he have here?
Well, this is where it gets rather Kafkaesque, because actually, under civil law, Russ Caswell is being treated worse than a criminal would, because the presumption, the burden of proof is upon him. And they're saying it's not that you've done any crimes, but you were a willfully blind owner, or you didn't take actions, reasonable actions, to stop drug crimes. So he has to prove he's innocent. Here's Scott Bullock, who's an attorney with the Libertarian Institute for Justice, and they're trying to help Caswell keep his motel.
This is the exact opposite of the criminal standard, where the government has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you are guilty. In civil forfeiture laws, you have to prove your innocence. And that is one of the main reasons why civil forfeiture laws simply should not exist.
And so civil forfeiture is viewed here as the greatest assault on private property rights in the nation today. Now, remember, what this is being driven by is the DEA, and if they take the motel, the government will sell off the motel. It's said to be worth about $1.5 million, and they split the proceeds with the Tewksbury police. Here is Scott Bullock again.
Because certain people that stayed at his motel over the course of a 20-year period were involved in drug crimes, the government's position is that is enough to take away everything that this man has worked for. That is an outrageous abuse of forfeiture laws, and we're trying to put a stop to it.
So, David, where does this case stand now, and what's the next step for Russ Caswell?
Well, the trial has come to an end. It came to an end last week. And interestingly enough, under the testimony, the Tewksbury police testified that, in fact, they had never given him any warnings or ever communicated to him any concerns or ways in which he could reduce crime. And there was a particular moment that might have shown the judge's stance toward this when she said to the government attorneys, "Do you mean to tell me that if somebody is selling drugs in the parking lot of Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's and the employees inside see it and do nothing, that you can forfeit those properties?" And at this point, the government lawyer, consistent with what she had been saying, had to answer, "Yes, it's forfeitable." And the judge said, "That's hard to believe." And that may have been the end of the case there. The judge, and this is a bench trial, meaning the judge will decide the verdict. She will look at some other papers, and she'll be ruling later on. But this is all changed. The dynamic of this is all changed because the Institute of Justice has stepped in to work pro bono for Russ Caswell. As Caswell said, "You know, the little guy, I went through $100,000 of my own money here, and the government isn't used to people pushing back." Well, the Institute of Justice is pushing back, and they have tremendous appellate attorneys, and they're going to go all the way to the end if they have to.
Well, fascinating story. WBUR senior reporter David Boeri, many thanks.
You're welcome.
And you can find a link to David's story at radioboston.org.